Well, Naomi and Ruth are now living in Bethlehem, Naomi's hometown. Naomi has left the land in which the Lord had dealt so bitterly with her, the land in which she has buried her husband and her two sons, the land in which she went from a woman of wealth to a woman of poverty. And she has come back to Bethlehem, to her hometown, to live among her own people in the city that God gave to her forefathers. Ruth has come with her. Ruth has left her homeland and come into a foreign land. She's left her family, as Boaz himself says, "I have heard how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth." She's come away from all that she has known before. Perhaps she has never been outside the borders of Moab before. And here she is in Bethlehem, far away from family and friends and all that she is familiar with. And what have they come back to? Here they are in Bethlehem. They've been welcomed by Naomi's old friends, who could hardly recognize her for the change that had come about over those intervening years. They've found a place to live. Perhaps someone has taken pity on them and given them a house, or even part of a house, for them to live in for a while. But they've come back to poverty. Yes, bread has come again to Bethlehem. The famine is over. The fields are full and white for the harvest. But Naomi and Ruth have nothing. It seems they have not even any money with which to buy bread. One wonders what Ruth would be thinking at this time. She's come from a land of plenty into what, at least for Naomi and Ruth, is a land of famine still. And she's come, it seems, simply because she loves Naomi. And look at the testimony that Naomi has given to her of Israel and Israel's God. It's not much, is it? She ends up in Moab, husbandless, and with two sons buried in the earth. All because the God that she worshipped didn't like what she'd done. Wonderful testimony to Ruth, isn't it? And now she's back in Bethlehem, quite possibly with hopes that there their lives would be better. They could get over the death of their loved ones, and at least now there was plenty in Bethlehem. And one of the first things we read is that Ruth's on her way out to glean in the fields. At least she could glean in the fields. God's law provided for the poor, but these were the desperately poor, the ones who had absolutely nothing else to fall back on, who went out, and from morning until night, with backs bent, picked up an ear of corn there and another one over there, until they could gather enough to bake a loaf of bread. What was it Ruth had come back to? What would become of Ruth's resolution? Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Will it? Will she stick by this? Well, look what she does. What steps did Ruth make to make life easier for herself and Naomi? Well, consider these four steps. First of all, she recognized that she was in need. It's amazing how often people will try and ignore the fact that they need help. Okay, when you're poor, it becomes less easy to ignore it. But in other areas as well, pride comes in and we're ashamed to ask others for help. Even in our prayer meetings, we're ashamed to say, will you please pray for me in this situation, under these circumstances, with these particular needs? You see, in our Western society, if we aren't coping, there's something wrong with us. If we're not on top of the world, if everything isn't working out right for us, we're at fault. There's something wrong. Weakness is scorned. Strength is applauded. But Ruth was willing to acknowledge her need, to recognize it. There they were in Bethlehem, and they were starving. And unless she did something, they were going to be dead. And so the second step after she acknowledged her need was that she went where that need could perhaps be met. She went out into the fields. Perhaps Naomi had spoken to her of the provision in God's law that when the harvesters were reaping their harvest, they were not to pick up the odd bits of grain that would fall by the wayside. That it was to be left there for the poor to come and to glean, as Ruth asked to do. And she went there. She went into the fields in search of food, in search of something that would satisfy their needs. I wonder, would someone please go out and... Thank you. The third step she took was that she worked hard to take full advantage of the opportunity. The need was there. The provision was there. But ears of corn lying on the ground in a field outside Bethlehem wouldn't do anything for starving stomachs inside Bethlehem if someone didn't go out and get them. And Ruth went. She wasn't so proud that she was unwilling to be associated with the poor. She wasn't so proud that she was unwilling to go about this back-breaking work to just put a loaf of bread on the table and keep starvation out of the way. And the fourth step that she made was that she craved the blessing of the one in whose field she was gleaning. She specifically asks Boaz there in verse 13, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord." She knew that as much as she could do, she needed more. The harvest would only last for a certain amount of time. There was the barley harvest, the first harvest towards the end of April and beginning of May, and then 7 weeks later or so would be the wheat harvest. But what after that? What when all the harvests had been taken in? What when autumn was fading and winter was coming? Where then would she find help? And she pleaded for the mercy of this man who had so blessed her already, comforted her, given her assurances of his favor already. The young men would not harm her. Indeed, they would draw water for her. She was to work in his fields. And as we find out, if we read later on in that chapter, he specifically instructed his reapers to leave extra corn for her. She needed his blessing, as well as to put her own work, their labour into the fields. But what does all this mean to us? It's a nice story, and of course the whole book of Ruth is a wonderful love story. It's the thing that movies are made of. This poor girl from a foreign land who hardly knows the language and who has only her mother-in-law for company, falls in love and wins the love of this wealthy native, and they live happily ever after. But why is it here? What good does it do to us living here at the beginning of the 21st century? Well, it tells us something about those who seek after God. I present this story to you and these verses that we read together as a picture of those who will seek the Lord Because these four steps that Ruth went through in order to satisfy her hunger and the hunger of her mother-in-law are the four steps that one must go to in order to seek and find the sustenance that we need in daily life, the true sustenance that will take us not only through this life, but into the next life. And if you are searching for sustenance, if you're searching for something that will sustain you here and make you ready for whatever comes after death, then first of all, you need to acknowledge your need, that you can't go it alone, that in your own strength and in your own power and with your own knowledge, you have insufficient to get through this world and into the next. Just as Ruth had to acknowledge that she was poor, that she was hungry, that she needed to go out and to search for food. And if you see your need then you may be interested to know that there is a provision for that need. That God has provided a place for us to search and to find sustenance. And that place is in the Bible, in God's Word, which is variously described to us and pictured to us, but one of the pictures is that it is as a field that we go in and we dig for treasure. And this is what you ought to do then, recognizing your need, knowing that there is a provision for it in the Bible, not only in the Bible as it is read, but also in the Bible as it is proclaimed to us each Sunday and at other opportunities that may be had. The third thing that Ruth had done, having realized her need and having been made aware of a place of provision, was that she went out and she worked. And the Bible will do you no good unless you study it. I don't simply mean a casual reading of it. You need to get into this back-breaking work, as Ruth did in gleaning the fields, and study it, and put labor and effort into understanding what God is saying to us in His Word. It means that you have to fight with weariness and that tendency for your eyes to close in the service and to keep concentrating as the preacher goes on and on and on, because there might be something. Something worth hearing. Something that would transform your life. Spurgeon, as a young man, before he went into the ministry, taught for a while. And he used to go to church with his landlady. And on the way home from church on one occasion, Spurgeon was grumbling about the lack of content in the sermons. And his landlady simply said to him, "There were crumbs to be had." Reminds you, doesn't it, of the Syrophoenician woman who came begging Jesus to heal her daughter or son. And Jesus refused initially. And she begged. And Jesus said, "Well, should the food that's for the children be given to the dogs?" And she said, "But even the dogs eat of the crumbs of the table." Working hard there to get a crumb, to get something out of a message that will be a blessing, that will be a help. I don't expect you to remember everything that is said each Sunday morning. I don't remember everything that's said each Sunday morning. But there's some things that really hit home. There are things that we can take away. One point that means something to us, that will help us, that will challenge us, that will rebuke us, that will bring us closer to God. And that's what we're searching for. We want to be nearer to God. We want Him to fulfill our lives and help us through this world. So we must work hard at it, whether in personal Bible study or in under the preaching of the word. But Ruth did another thing, didn't she? She craved the blessing of the owner of the field. Well, Ruth could have continued to glean without the blessing of the owner of the field. It was a legal right that she had, though bear in mind that she lived in the time of the judges, when everyone did what was right in their own eyes and many of God's laws were completely ignored. But she craved the blessing of the owner, and there's one thing for sure, that without the blessing of the author of the Bible, it won't do you much good. So you must plead with God that he will bless you as you study it, as you hear it proclaimed, as you read it yourself. He is the one who is able to open out of it the rich treasures that will make you wealthy in your spiritual life. He is the one that can draw you close to himself and make your life one that is worth living and worth giving away at death for a better one. But what came of all that Ruth did? She was there gleaning in the fields. What was the result of these four steps of hers? Well, there's three basic results. First one is that she was fed. She was quite literally fed. As she was there in the field gleaning, Boaz came alongside her and blessed her. And as they sat together and were eating their food, he called her over and invited her to eat with his reapers, and he gave her food. And she had intended, no doubt, taking all that she had gleaned home to provide for both herself and her mother-in-law. But she went home with a full stomach herself. She was fed immediately, even in the midst of her work. But a second thing, she went home with her arms full. She went home with more for her mother, more left over from her meal, and of course all that she had been able to glean, as well as the gift of Boaz to her. And she went away from the field at the end of that day, having been blessed in a far greater way. For she had entered into a new relationship that would lead to even greater blessing. She had gone out that morning hoping to come home with a few handsful of grain to make some bread. And she probably didn't know it at that stage, but she actually went home at the end of that day, having begun something that would be infinitely greater than a loaf of bread on the table. She would be marrying one of the wealthy men of Bethlehem, who would provide for her and her mother-in-law until their deaths, who would give them a home and prosperity. And as you study the word of God, as you listen to it proclaimed, as you seek after God in his word, then you will find that you are fed. That whenever you come to it, there'll be things there that God gives you and immediately blesses you with. There'll be other things that you'll take away, And they'll only really come to a full blessing in your life later on. Things you'll remember that God's word says. Words of encouragement you didn't need at the time, but later on when you're going through difficulty, come and minister to your soul. Words of rebuke. Words of warning that are meaningless at the time, but later in the face of temptation will stop you in your tracks and will cause you to turn away and to walk in God's ways rather than the ways of the world. But when you read God's word, something far more significant happens. When you are searching it for the treasure that's contained in there, you enter into a relationship with God that lasts forever. That as you read God's word and you read more and more about who God is and what he's like and what he does and what he can do, and you read there more of who you are and what you are really like, then you begin to see the great blessings that there are to be had through a relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God, by having him as your Saviour. You see, those who search in God's Word may initially only be looking for clues or for guidelines on living a good life. But when you search in the Word of God, which is a living Word, you come out with far more than that. Far more than a small blessing like a loaf of bread on the table. You come away with it all. With mansions prepared for you in glory. With a home that is eternal. With all the wealth, not of Christchurch, not of New Zealand, not even of this world, but all the wealth of the riches of God are yours when you become joint heir with Jesus Christ of all that belongs to God. And this can be yours if you will seek the Lord with all of your heart. That's what Jeremiah says in his prophecy. God says through Jeremiah, if you will seek me, you will find me. If you seek me with all your heart. Ruth, you see, was in search of sustenance. And she found much more than a meal. A meal would have sustained her for a day. But she found a relationship that would sustain her for the whole of her life. What would have happened if Ruth had not been willing to acknowledge her need? What would have happened if Ruth had not gone out that morning and gone into the fields? If she had not been willing to stoop to that back-breaking work and to glean those ears of corn? What would have happened to her if she had not craved the blessing of the owner of that field? Well, she and Naomi would certainly have gone hungry. She would never have met Boaz. Perhaps of all the men in Bethlehem, the only one who would have been willing to marry a Moabite woman. He himself was the son of Rahab the harlot, a foreigner who had trusted in God. And you see, the big difference between Boaz and Mahlon or Kilian, whichever one it was that married Ruth firstly, was that Mahlon or Kilian married Ruth before she was a believer. Boaz, like his father, married a foreign woman who was trusting the Lord, was seeking his ways, was trying to live a life of obedience to him. And Ruth would have missed all of that had she not acknowledged her need and had she not gone in search of sustenance. And you can miss out on all that God offers to sinners who will acknowledge their need and who will search for him in his word. If in your pride you refuse to come, or if in your laziness you refuse to work, then there are many, many blessings. And this can apply also to believers, to Christians. There is much that you can miss out on of blessing from God if you will not search the scriptures and see the truth that is contained therein. If you will not have it as your guide, if you will not, like Paul, know that for you to live is Christ, that he is everything and anything else is nothing in comparison. What will you do then with your need and with the opportunities that you have to meet it in God's word and in Sunday morning worship services and in other opportunities for hearing the word proclaimed? You can find God if you will seek him with all your heart. Will you? And will you do so with faith in God? For without faith it is impossible to please God. Without faith it is impossible to find him. Come this morning to the living God, and he will bless you even more than you can ever imagine, just as Ruth was blessed, more than she could ever have dreamt of when she went out that morning to glean in the fields.